Let's turn in our Bibles to Judges chapter 13, please. Judges chapter 13. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then a woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name, but he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, 'Behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me.' And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' And Manoah said, 'Now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life and what is his mission?' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'If you detain me, I will not eat of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that when your words come true, we may honor you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up towards heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die, for we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering of our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these.' And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol." I want to focus in this chapter on verses 22 and 23 this morning. Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such a thing as those." The question is, are you ready to meet the Lord? To appear before him face to face. The Latin says, coram Deum. And I think you should think deeply about this question. For myself, it became much more a reality than before in my life. One tended to run over such a question. But in the last few months, actually became more and more a question for myself is, am I ready to face the Lord? And now it's not a monthly or a weekly thing, it became a daily thing for me. Every day I ask myself, am I ready to face the Lord? Tomorrow morning I should have gone for another operation, it was postponed for a week, but for the next week I will still ask myself every day, am I ready to meet the Lord, to appear before Him? Now, well, I think this is what we see. This is what we want to see from this text. You think of it when you hear this. Thinking of my day of death, the day when I will appear before the judge of all things, and at that moment my whole life would just flash, just bypass me. All the things I've done and the things I have not done, or all the sins that are stapled, or one great heap of everything that I did wrong, or I said wrong, or even I thought wrong, or I wished wrong. And the faces of people will just flash in front of you. Incidents of conflict or grief that I caused or you caused. How many times were you rebellious? You would not listen to people or listen to their advice. So if I ask you, are you ready to appear before your Lord? Do you think I ask you if you are ready to die? Well, Manoah thought that. I saw God. I'm going to die. I think he's speaking from history. If you think of Genesis 32 verse 20, Jacob, he was at a certain place and he called the place Peniel because he said, I saw God face to face. Luckily, I survived. Or Moses asked the Lord, Exodus chapter 33, to appear before him. The Lord told him, you cannot see me because nobody can see me and stay alive. Now, Noah knew these things. They were all things that was written afterwards, and I think he had a quite developed sense of who the Lord was, even how the Lord reveals himself. So often in this verse, or this text rather, that we've read, we hear the title, the angel of the Lord. HaMelech Yahweh, the angel of the Lord. Not an angel, but the angel of the Lord. And Manoah was definitely sure that I saw the Lord face to face. Now, this specific messenger wasn't unknown in the Old Testament. Very often, it was considered that this angel of the Lord is the Lord, and specifically, I think, the Son, Jesus Christ, who appeared to man in the Old Testament itself by this title, this specific way of appearance. Now, for Manoah and his wife, it was something very special, especially when they looked at that burnt offering and they saw this, the angel of the Lord disappearing in the flames and going up into heaven. And even then, this recognition, this understanding was born from that. And the confession that we hear in verse 22, now I will die. I saw God, I will die. Something you hear so often later on in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5, the calling vision of the prophet Isaiah. He cried out, it's finished with me. I'm lost. Every word from my lips is unclean. I live amongst the people who are unclean. And I saw the King, the Almighty One, the Holy One. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 18, we hear John at word. He says, nobody ever saw the Lord. His only Son, God's self, who is the closest to the Father, He will make Him known. So, ready to die? Ready to meet Him? That is what Manoah thinks, and he stopped dead in his track, just there. His wife is not named. She is just the nameless one, the wife. But the way in which she interprets these things are telling another story. And she is argumenting it in 3 points. She says, if the Lord wanted to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted the burnt offering or the grain offering from us. The second place, he wouldn't have shown us this wonderful thing today. He wouldn't have told us in the third place this wonderful news. So those are the 3 arguments she posed for the fact that they will not die. So where the vision of Manoah stops dead at death, her argumentation goes a little bit further and says, but life, life. So, I mean, the question I think when you read her arguments are you ready to live before the Lord? Are you ready to live a new or renewing life? A new and a powerful life. Totally different from the one you've known so far or you lived so far. True regeneration comes from a meeting with God. True new life starts off when you meet the Lord. When you really appear before him. That stands also in Amos 4, chapter 12. Be ready to meet the Lord. It doesn't refer to a day of dying for the people. But afterwards you hear all the evidences of a renewal of the covenant. A day of living, actually. You know, one of the things that sometimes kill me, I almost want to say, but hinders me in my mind is in the church and myself, if things do not change, it will remain the same. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? I cannot use the same methods and the same ingredients and hope to find a new product. It cannot be. That's why I also think we can never get too much at rest with the status of one's own life, but especially also the status of the body of Christ, where we, all of us are a part of. So God calls us to life and to live. Do you believe in life before death? Not only after death. Life before death. There is life before death. And I think that is what the meeting of the person of God will implies. So, if you will speak about something worthless, it will mean change without a real meeting of the Lord. That will be cosmetic. I think that is death in a slow way. It should be. It will be artificial breath or breathing. But when you appear before him, you think about that daily, then you start thinking and praying with a new spark, I hope. And even then, the things that usually would grind you to a halt would make new sense. You can really look forward to a renewed circumstance or a renewed experience, actually, from what you see. The more that you realize that you are powerless, the stronger you become in the Lord. The more you even expect the Lord's action and activities in your own life. So, how do we see God? How do we know about his presence? We know we live in an era where we do not experience a theophany so often. You know the term theophany? A God appearance? Anyway, it's not where the Bible is active and the Bible is at work. You shouldn't expect, I think, a theophany there. But there are so many other ways in which you are brought before the Lord and where you get convinced of his presence. So, here in Judges chapter 13, they knew about the Lord's presence. They felt something about that, even before he was glorified by going up in those flames. Especially when he refused to give them his name. They asked it. What is your glorious name by which can we worship you? He says, no, forget that. Bring you, not to me something to eat, but bring an offering then to the Lord himself. Other ones are not so recognizable. But if you look closely, you may see it. The one who is sent, the angel. Later on, God made known his voice through the prophets. He made clear what he wants and how he preached through the apostles. Today we believe he will equip and he will send out preachers, especially well-equipped preachers. We are able and willing and called to take his holy word into this world and preach it. Preach it according to God's will. So you would recognize God in his word. You would recognize him in the presence of there where he is truthfully worshipped in the true sense. You can recognize God, I think, in the promises he gave you. Very often when I read my Bible, I read it according to the promises written there. And I know that every promise that I take to heart is giving me hope. That's how God is giving hope to anybody, is by reminding him of promises. But I'm asking myself so often, how many of those promises can I take to heart? And when I take a promise to heart, it means I mean God in that, isn't it? How about the Lord hearing your prayers? Not only listening to your prayers, but actually acting upon your prayers. That God will listen, that he will listen clearly, and he will again send his messenger into this world. I used to keep a prayer diary. So often I found that the thing I prayed for this week becomes a prayer of thanks next week. That the Lord has responded on that. Other times, I have to get onto the watchtower, like the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. I have to go and stand there, and I have to be alone with the Lord. And only there, I stop bothering people with all the things I want to know. But I start looking in his kingdom. What is happening there? What is happening there? And only me can sometimes see that the Lord is hearing prayers. He's bringing things together that, while I was nosing around here in the world, I could never discern. But when I spend time, I can see that the Lord is listening to prayers. And I think our ethics, we have clear instructions about that which the Lord expects for us. I don't have any doubt that we know what God wants, and we will know that God also prepares the way so often for us to walk, to walk the talk, to go where we believe we should believe. He's called the one going before in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So, would you recognize God? Sometimes you will be in a very small moment in the fine stitch work of a tapestry. Other times it will be in great steps, great promises, clear instructions. But look at this incident in Judges 13. How this will just go way past time. The Lord is appearing here to Manoah and his wife to bring a promise and the realization of somebody who would be on the spot, bring alleviation of their plights among the Philistines. It will be salvation. One man, verse 5, after 40 years of oppression, the Lord promises he will free the people from the might of the Philistines. And even when his birth is promised, it is clearly said, salvation is on the way. ages later on, you will find a man who became blind, Zechariah, regarding the birth of his son. He would not accept the moment when the angel appeared to him, the message of the angel. But yeah, eventually he was able to recognize that. And that same son who was born, John, he proclaimed that somebody is coming by way of the desert even, and make sure that the road is clear for that. And then Jesus comes, he appears. He comes in presence of sight and sound. He starts preaching, and he shows the Lord. Remember John chapter 1 verse 16, nobody ever saw the Lord except his only son, and God was chosen to reveal himself through his son. But now it gets wider and wider. Jesus is baptized, and the Holy Spirit starts leading him. He starts ministering in this world. And so often you will find that new life will be the result of meeting the Lord in Jesus Christ. I think that is something that we can look forward to. Personally, but also I think as the body of Christ, every meeting with the Lord every Sunday, I think it's a high priority. It should be a high priority on your schedule. Okay, I know you are all preachers or involved already. I mean, you have your agents. But you have to encourage other people to think of this as a high point of their week. As a springboard of your activities of new life. And something of the working through of your regeneration. Something that the Lord performs through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit and the Word. Without you even knowing about it. But the result of that becomes clear. And that resultative living through all of these things should become part and parcel of your own life. You can. Because that which you never have thought of, something which people would never even consider, becomes a way of life. So, the question is, are you ready to live because you met the Lord? In the writing of the Apostle Paul, Apostle John rather, to his great friend, Gaius, in the third letter of John. He says there in verse 11, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. That meeting of the Lord, should lead to your purity of life. Refraining from evil, taking you away from a road or a path which you would have walked without the Lord. And that's something that you can lead in further than yourself, I mean your family, your own people, whoever is in your presence, to make sure that you know about this meeting moment with the Lord. But test yourself. Do you have your answers ready regarding the great questions? Do you have your answers ready regarding, for instance, the commandment of love? Did we really move mountains to make sure that our meeting with God has great results, because I live from love and grace? How about the great comfort? Did we really grab that great comfort that Jesus said, I will be with you until the end of ages? By keeping up with hope in your life. Living with the energy that God provided, not with his depressive thoughts that would sometimes really be your character. Or did our theology grow luxurious? Did the church where you serve really held on to the heart of the gospel, the facts of Jesus' death and resurrection. You know, I cry about so many theologians in our own country who will disregard the history posed in the Gospels, who will totally try to disregard the resurrection of Jesus from death. But are we ready to give that answer? Are we ready to proclaim the truth, what that we learned in the presence of the Lord? If God should question you in His presence, are you ready to answer? How about the Great Commission? Go out, make disciples, teaching and baptizing them. Is that what the church does because we are fulfilled with energy of our meeting from the Lord? How often do we say, okay, we know that's a great commandment, but I just want to finish this first. I'll get there, but let me just sort out my inner workings of the church. I'll get there, finances. I'll get there, other excuses. Are we really committed to that great commission? If you met the Lord, if you live from that moment of realization in your own life, you will do that you did not want to do. You will do it in faith and in thanks. You will want to give your utmost best because you know who is the energy and who is energizing you in His word. You know you wish to move mountains in your relationships, and you will wish to build and to grow in a positive relationship and in your way of thinking in this world. You want to live life. You will wish to live with love and empathy. You want to address the world around you. You doesn't want to hesitate. You don't want to hesitate because you are awake in faith. You are a child of God who wishes to proclaim this in the whole world. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace, especially for the grace of knowing you, since you brought us into your presence, not to think of a message of death, but of a message of life, and not, Lord, to be hindered in such a sense that we live as if we are not energized, but being energized by hope and by your promises, energized, Lord, by the word that we carry and that we know so well, we may live towards a future. Thank you, Lord, that we see the works, that we hear the words, that we experience everything that you wish us to know, and that we may proclaim that as ministers of your holiness into this world. We pray, O Lord, for our college, the equipment that we give and receive. We pray, Lord, for all our personnel, everybody who wishes to take out into this world our commitments. Thank you, Lord, for so many ways in which we are supplied by donors and otherwise. We thank you, Lord, that in the organizing of all these things, we know that we are not doing it for ourselves, but we are doing it for the glory of your name. Bless us, O Lord, in this, now and forever. Amen.